Welcome in to the Fills in 5 podcast. I'm your host, Bretzky. It is Friday, September 16th, 2022. The Fills kept things rolling on Wednesday evening with an easy 6-1 win, but could not keep the win streak alive. Thursday, dropping the series finale 5-3 to snap a 5-game streak. That's loss number 11,175 of all time. And we'll recap the games. Wednesday, the Phils fell behind early against the Marlins on a first inning run, but Kyle Gibson locked it in after that, completing 6 frames of one-run ball. He allowed 6 hits and a walk with 7 Ks. Gibson earned his 10th win of the year, bouncing back from a couple of shaky efforts. Love to see it from Kyle. JT Realmuto continues to look like the best catcher in baseball over the season's second half. He went 2-for-4 with a walk, a pair of homers, 4 RBI. Bryce Harper also homered Wednesday, his second home run in the last 4 games to give him 17 on the year. The pair went back-to-back in the 6th inning to give the Phils a lead. They added another run in that inning on a Jean Segura double, and they would not relinquish that lead, ending up cruising to a 6-1 win. Thursday night didn't go as well. Marlins starter once again held the Phils scoreless through the first 5. This time it was Pablo Lopez, and then the Phils the Marlins jumped out to an early 4-run lead over Noah Syndergaard, who struggled with the long ball. He allowed a solo shot to get the scoring going. It was Jordan Groshon's first career home run, and then a 3-run blast the next inning to Brian De La Cruz. Phils were in a 4-0 hole, and they couldn't really get back. They tried, led by a Kyle Schwarber home run. It was his 38th of the year, but couldn't put a rally together, although they did have plenty of base runners in the late innings, and it looked like they were going to get something going, but just really, really couldn't string it all together. Brandon Marsh did his part in the losing effort. He had 4 hits, including a double, a triple, 2 RBI, looked really good, but that's really, you know, win one, lose one, and keep it moving. All right, let's take a quick look around the NL East. The Braves lost 2 of 3 to the Giants this week. They will get the Phillies next. The Nationals swept by the Orioles in a 2-gamer. Will play the Marlins this weekend. The Marlins, of course, will host the Nationals after taking the last game of a 3-game series against the Phillies. The Mets won the opener Thursday in a 4-game series with Pittsburgh, so they'll continue to battle with the Pirates this weekend. They remain 1 game up on the Braves in the NL East, and then checking in on the wild card race, San Diego lost on Thursday. Milwaukee was off. The Phils are now 2.5 games up for the second spot, 4-game cushion for a playoff spot, and right now they'd be lined up to face the Braves in the first round of the playoffs, and hey, that's what we're going to get this week. But before we get to that, our key question of the day: is Brandon Marsh the future of center field for the Phils? There's been some discussion of his mechanical adjustments that he made with his swing since coming over from the Angels at the trade deadline. It's mostly involved shortening or eliminating that little toe tap at the beginning. So similar to what we saw with Bryson Stott earlier, just kind of simplify the swing, get the guy ready. You know, having that toe tap kind of makes you a little susceptible to pitchers who can alter their delivery, change up their timing a little bit. And if you just keep your foot on the ground, more ready to hit. He posted a crummy 226, 284, 353 slash line for the Angels this year with a really ugly 36.2 K rate. Phillies said, oh, that looks good. Let's go get this guy. Marsh, however, since coming over, has improved his quality of contact significantly, nudged that K rate down a little bit since joining the Phils. The strikeout rate is now below 30%, still a little high in the 29% range. We'd like to see that get down to maybe 25% or so, but going in the right direction. And his slash line has improved significantly. He's batting 300 with a 317 on base, 475 slug over 25 games with the Phillies. The guy's got nice speed, plays solid defense, has enough facial hair to survive the chilly winter months in the Northeast. This one looks like a real keeper for the Phillies, a really nice move at the trade deadline this year that looks like it could help not just this season, but for years to come. Brandon Marsh, our starting center fielder. All right, up next, 3 games with Atlanta, who are in second place in the NL East. We mentioned just a game back from the Mets, but we all know this has been the best team in baseball since the summer started. And of course, they are the defending champions as well. Overall, the Braves rank 9th in batting average on the year, third in runs per game, however. They're scoring 4.93 runs per. They also have a 3.50 staff ERA, which is good for sixth best in the majors on offense. Michael Harris II has been scorching hot. He's batting 3.95 over the past 2 weeks with four homers. That's good for a 2.15 WRC plus over that span. Basically, this guy has been double the value of a league average bat over the past few weeks. Dansby Swanson, also another nice season. He's got three homers in the past couple of weeks. Rookie Vaughn Grissom is coming around as well, batting .286 with .359 on base, .514 slash over the past 14 games. Oh, and we're looking at what they've been doing lately, and we haven't even mentioned Ronald Acuña Jr., Matt Olson, or Austin Riley, who is second in the National League in home runs to our very own Kyle Schwarber. Riley's got 36 homers. Schwarber's got 38 after the long ball last night. The Braves are really, really good lineup. This is a tough matchup for our pitching staff. And hey, that's not all. They're a complete team. On the pitching side of things, it's not going to get much better. The probables for the series on Friday, Ranger Suarez versus Max Fried. Fried is putting together a Cy Young-worthy campaign. We just got done seeing Sandy Alcantara. It's not going to get much easier with Max Fried. He's got a 2.50 ERA, a 1.01 whip, 155 Ks over 169.1 innings. He's gotten through the six just once in his last three turns, and he's picked up two losses recently, so maybe we're catching Max at a bit of a downtime. But really, he's a very consistent arm, not overwhelming, but he always competes and keeps his team in the game. We'll look for some length out of Ranger Suarez, who's been having a little bit of trouble getting through the lineup multiple times. Just keep the ball in the yard would be a nice thing against Atlanta. So hopefully that sinker is working for Ranger on Friday evening. On Saturday, we'll send Aaron Nola to the mound against veteran Jake Odorizzi. The advantage is to the Phillies in this second game of the series. Odorizzi has a 4.15 ERA on the year. He allowed four runs over 3 2/3 innings his last time out, but he's beatable. He rarely gets all that deep, so this may be a situation where the Phillies can get the starter out in the third, fourth inning and go to work on that bullpen. It'll be an important one on Saturday if they can get a win just to get Nola in the win column. And then on Sunday, Bailey Falter will take another turn in Zach Wheeler's spot, and he will face off with Spencer Strider. So another potential Cy Young candidate, another Rookie of the Year candidate on this Braves team. The Phillies are going to get two of the best pitchers in the National League over this weekend. This will be Falter's biggest test since Wheeler has been on the shelf, with a really good team to face. And again, a really good pitcher on the other side. Spencer Strider continues to roll through the league. He struck out 32 batters in his past three starts over just 19 innings, including a 16 strikeout game a couple of turns ago. Good luck to the Phils facing Spencer Strider on Sunday. I'm not sure there's anyone throwing better right now. Our final thought of the day. Should be an interesting weekend series for the Phils, and I'm sure the Mets fans in our lives will do the rare thing and root for their hated rivals as we play potentially a more hated rival right now for the Mets, hoping that we can take care of the Braves so they can put a little bit of a cushion there for the Phils. And this should be a good barometer of how ready they are to compete with a top-tier team. This may be the best team in baseball. Got a lot of good pitching, and the lineup just knows how to mash. So far, the Phillies have been able to hold their own against Atlanta, so we'll look for more of the same as we get that kicked off this evening. Again, Ranger Suarez, Max Fried in Atlanta. It should be fun. I'll be watching. Let's go, Phils. Get some wins this weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday to recap it all.